It seems so many of us in the body of Christ, well, we're looking to make some serious changes. Changes in our health and fitness, well, those might be the first ones that come to mind. But let's not overlook what I like to call the fabulous five. And that would be faith, family, finances, food and fitness, which I lump into one category, and lastly, fun. Yes, fun. The fun category would be those dreams and goals, those hidden passions that have, well, up until now, they've been tucked away for a later day. These would be those desires and aspirations that only God knows about, things you've wanted to do for years, but seem so huge and out of reach. Something as crazy as taking flying lessons, or whitewater rafting, or going on a foreign missions trip, or even fulfilling a lifelong dream of adopting a child. Do you need some help identifying your problem areas or giving yourself permission to dream again? Would you like someone to come alongside you and help you figure out a plan of attack that actually works? Well, you don't have to do this one alone. Hi there, this is Christina Conti, and I'm a licensed psychotherapist as well as a Christian life coach. And it would be my pleasure if you join me for the next 30 minutes as we discover and uncover the world of setting and achieving goals, but this time from a biblical perspective. I've entitled this foundational program as Goal Setting and Goal Achievement, A Believer's Approach to Going Higher with God. This program is for ambitious people like yourself who want to make their life count. People who right now may be really frustrated and stuck in a daily rut. You might say, "There's something missing, Christina. I think I'm ready for a change." Well, if this is the way you think and feel, you are the person for whom this program has been designed. Together, we're going to take an in-depth look at those fabulous five areas that I mentioned, and we're going to pinpoint the changes that you want to make. But this is going to take your participation, so go ahead and take out something to write with. We're going to be jotting down those five categories in just a few more seconds. Then we're going to be doing some thinking. Okay, are you ready? Once again, those categories are faith, family, finances, food and fitness, and lastly, fun. I want you to write them down because there is a power in simply putting your thoughts on paper. Research in the area of goal setting and goal achievement shows that those who take their goals from their minds and transfer them clearly on paper are far more likely to achieve what they want than those who didn't. In fact, one Harvard study proved this. I first heard about this 10-year study on goal setting and goal achievement when listening to one of my favorite speakers, Brian Tracy. He talks about research presented in Mark McCormick's book, What They Don't Teach You at the Harvard Business School. Brian Tracy said that in 1979, the graduates of the MBA program at Harvard were asked, "Have you set clear written goals for your future and made plans to accomplish them?" The results of this study are both alarming to me and incredibly motivating. Only 3% of the graduates had written goals and plans. 13% had goals in their minds, but not in writing. And the remaining 84%, well, they had no goals at all, except for graduating and enjoying a fine summer. Back 10 years later, in 1989, they interviewed the members of that same class again. And they found that the 13% who had goals, but not in writing, were actually earning on average twice as much as the 84% of students who had no goals at all. But wait, it gets better. The 10-year study found that the 3% of graduates who had clear, written goals when they left Harvard were actually earning on average 10 times as much as the other 97% of the MBA graduates altogether. You guys, I'm not sure if those stats really, really registered with you, but they've registered with me. So let's just have some fun together for a second, okay? Let's plug in some hypothetical math here. Let's say those 84% of Harvard MBA graduates who had the no goals at all were earning about $100,000 per year. Then what the research found was that the 13% who actually had goals in their heads but not in writing, they earned on average $200,000 per year. That's reason enough, don't you agree? Well, if that isn't convincing enough, for those 3% of students who actually took the time to write down clear, specific, written goals, those graduates wound up making on average over $1 million per year. So suffice it to say, we will be writing down our goals in this program. Amen? Amen. Not because we want to make more money, although that may be one of your goals, but because we are far more likely to achieve our desired outcomes, whatever our goal might be. So look again at your Fabulous Five right now. The Lord may be speaking to you specifically regarding one of those topics or all of them. This program is going to be tailored specifically to your life. I will be the one who instructs and guides you, but you and the Lord are the only ones who could make this tailor-made to reflect who He created you to be. Then you and I, we're going to work together as a team to put it into motion. You might ask, why are you so passionate about this program? I mean, after all, aren't those words like goal setting and achievement used in the secular world? Sounds more like self-help and self-improvement stuff. Is this New Age psychology, Christina, rather than sound biblical doctrine? I'm going to ask you for a second to just hang on with me, okay? Well, first of all, don't let the language and the terminology that I use dissuade you or scare you away from listening further. Yes, words like goals and achievement, well, they definitely are used by those camps. But you can rename it anything that sounds better to you. Personally, I choose to call it my sanctification process. So you will hear that word a lot. But I can't stress this point enough. Don't get stumped by the words or terms. Just notice, take a good look in which direction the process is sending you. It's sending you forward. Onward toward reaching that higher goal in Christ. Take a look at how Paul expressed himself in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. You might want to borrow some of his terminology. Paul said, I do not claim that I have already succeeded or I have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won me to himself. Of course, my friends, I really do not think that I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and do my best to reach what is ahead. So I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. Well, there's nothing sedentary, static, or stuck about Paul's stance. Reaching ahead toward the goal is a position of motion, of moving forward. So let's personalize this to our own lives. For example, if God is calling you to make some major changes to the way you've been treating your body, He's going to require you to do something. There's nothing sedentary about that stance. He's calling you to action, to achieve something higher than what you've got going on today. So write that one down under the fitness and food category. Another example, if God's talking to you about the way you handle your finances, well, He's expecting you to do something. The Lord isn't silent or passive about the way He wants us to give, save, and spend our money as a believer. So if the Holy Spirit just about knocked you off your chair when I said the word finances, then that's where you'd write something down. Truth is, God's word is replete, loaded with marching orders to the Christian on how to live out this earthly life in a manner that brings him the glory. We just have to get serious with God about changing our status quo. Listen to what Philippians 3:21 says. He will change our weak mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body, using that power by which he is able to bring all things under his rule. So if you're still asking yourself, Christina, why should I, as a believer, have goals? Well, the answer is that it's biblical. But don't stress. The verse above in Philippians tells us straight out that if we take this seriously and we get off the bench and we truly purpose to run straight toward the goal, as Paul referred to in Philippians, that he will see to it that the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to do it. This isn't rocket science, but it does require something of us. Change will not happen on its own. Change requires our participation first and foremost. It requires us to re-educate ourselves in areas that we've neglected. That's exactly why Biblical Health TV is so valuable, because you're going to get an education with us. You're going to be part of a community of believers who are like-minded in their upward calling. You're going to be plugged in, you're going to see results and feel restored. You're going to stay motivated and remain accountable for your growth. How exciting can that be? And if by chance you slip off the wagon for a short season, you're going to be welcomed back by this body of believing experts, because we are here for you. Remember, change is challenging. This is not easy, but you're not going to do this one alone. The main word that comes to my mind right about now is hope. Biblical Health TV is going to help usher in hope for your spirit, soul, and body. As long as we have Jesus, we have hope. He wants us to believe again that these things are possible for us. A deeper faith, a better family, well-being in your body and finances, all of it. He wants you to have the hope. So together, let's dream big. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me, you will come and pray to me, and I'll answer you. You will seek me, and you'll find me because you seek me with all your heart." So, what is that future you're hoping for? God's word is true, and goal setting works. I know this from personal experience, and I'm going to share my personal stories with you to encourage you to keep pressing forward. You know, Jesus is the one who's changed my life, not this program. But I have found that the techniques in this program, well, it works. The speed at which you move onward and up will just absolutely amaze you. You'll become unstuck and motivated, and you'll have your own specific roadmap on how to get to where God is calling you. And we've established from Scripture that He is indeed calling us higher in Him. By following these easy and simple to apply methods, which are both practical and proven to work, you can move quickly from where you are right now to where you long to be, or better yet, where you know you ought to be in the coming days and months ahead. Together, we'll learn how to transform your defeating self-talk to something that just more accurately reflects the truth of God's word in that area that you're struggling in. Tell me if you've heard any of these before. "Oh, I wish I could lose 30 pounds, but I've tried every diet known to mankind and nothing works." Or how about this one? You know, if I didn't have to work such long hours, I'd have more time for Bible study. I used to say this one personally all the time. I wish I could be more punctual like all of you guys are, but I'm Cuban, and we Cubans are late to everything. And a classic one is my friend Laura, who is both Italian and Puerto Rican. That's a spicy mixture. And she used to say, "I really want to be gentle, but I'm Italian. It's not in my blood." Well, no, Jesus is in my blood now. So now is the time to start tackling those obstacles, one bite at a time, bit by bit. You are going to be amazed at the speed at which you move onward and up. You know, in the parable of the three talents, I believe the moral of the story could be that God gives each of us gifts and talents that he fully expects us to sharpen. He even wants us to fine-tune them, cultivate them, and invest them so that the dying world around us takes notice of our awesome God. This is why I believe that the master was so angered by the man who hid his one talent in the ground and did absolutely nothing with it. The master saw this man's potential. He saw how his specific life would make an impact or count for the advancement of the kingdom of God. But instead of stepping out and doing something with his talent, he buried it and he wasted it. Now, God gives each of us different skills, talents, dreams, and desires. He entrusts us each with different gifts, but all are necessary for the body of Christ to shine. Philippians 2:15 through 16 says, "You must shine among them like stars lighting up the sky as you offer them the message of life." He wanted the Christian to shine in the world around them that was full of corrupt and sinful people of that day. You know, I have found that God fully expects us to use our talents, to put them to work for us individually in our personal lives and at our homes, but also for the corporate good for the body of Christ. In chapter 15 of John's Gospel, Jesus said, "I am the real vine, and my Father, he's the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit." Are you seeing that? The Father wants to prune us with gardening shears, not because he's mean, but because he wants us to bear more fruit. Verse 3 goes on to say, "You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you." Goal setting is a tool that I use to stay focused and remain united to him. In verse 4, he continues to say, "A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me." Did you hear that, you guys? We can't achieve one of our goals without God's help. Verse 6 warns us, "Those who do not remain in me are thrown out like a branch and dried up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire where they are burned." You know, this reminds me of how angry he was with the one man who wasted or didn't pursue his talent. The master wound up taking it away from him and casting him into utter darkness. Back to verse 7, it reads, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish and you shall have it." Keep that verse in mind when you're filling out your fun category. God wants us to have fun. Verse 8 says, "My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You did not choose me. I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. Believer, your time and your life, well, they're precious. Let's not misuse it by being lazy, defeated, and lukewarm. Again, this is why I believe the master was so angered by the one guy who didn't bother to do anything with his talent. The body of Christ needs each other to work the way he intended it to work. So you might ask, what does this have to do with goal setting and goal achievement? Well, it's been my experience that in using this vehicle, it keeps you focused and it keeps you moving forward in the direction that Christ is calling you. So we're going to write down our targeted goals. We'll make realistic, step-by-step plans to achieve them. And then we'll work on them every single day and measure our progress. I find this to be so challenging, but incredibly, incredibly rewarding. In fact, I believe that an average Christian with clear goals will have more of an impact with his life than a genius with a lot of smarts but no direction. It is what it is. If you have a written roadmap of how you are going to get somewhere, you can stay focused on the prize at the finish line while charting out or measuring just how far you've come. When you see yourself moving in the right direction, well, that for me, it's contagious. My personal mission statement in life is this. I want to help Christians be all they could be for Christ via the tool or the discipline of goal setting and goal achievement. Your goal, as the listener, should be to become one of those Christians who looks honestly at their own fabulous five, who looks honestly at their faith, at their family life, at their finances. Whoa! At their food and fitness, and definitely looks at their fun. Are we having any fun? And after looking honestly at those things, we identify through prayer what God would have us work on this week, this month, this year. I know it's not easy to look at ourselves in the mirror. Is it your health that God's been speaking to you about? Is it your addiction to sodas and coffee? Your marriage, your short fuse with your kids, your anger and lack of self-control? He undoubtedly will reveal to you if you quiet yourself to listen. Your goal for this program should be to take this sanctification process seriously and go higher with God. Like the divine gardener that he is, in John chapter 15, Jesus tells us that he wants to prune us, and he wants to fine-tune us, and he wants to cut away, so that through the sanctification process, we're going to bear much fruit. Not just any fruit, you guys, fruit that lasts. But the truth is, pruning hurts. Pruning takes submission and trust in that the gardener knows what he's doing. It takes a faith that he knows what he's aiming for through this present day suffering. Have you ever pruned a rose bush down so far to the bare stem that it looks anything but beautiful? Or have you sheared a long-haired shih tzu down to its bare skin? My sister-in-law, Grace, she did that to her dog, Toby, and that poor little pooch looks scary. Although the process might not look pretty, the groomer and the gardener, they've got a plan. Well, it's the same with God. He has a plan for our day, for our week, and for our year. But we have to co-labor with him, cooperate with the process so that we experience the joy of the final product. Again, John 15, 8 and 11 says, "My Father's glory is shown by you bearing much fruit. And in this way, you become what? My disciples. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." This whole process is not easy. It takes submission, trust, and discipline. So are you ready? Are you in? It won't be overwhelming, but it will be consistent and methodical. My desire is that you use this program as a map or a guide to identifying your goals, making realistic changes that make way for this new habit or character quality that you're seeking, and lastly, keeping track and measuring your outcome. Together, this program is going to show you how to do just that. You know, although my bachelor's degree is in broadcast journalism, I always knew that the field of mass communications was just half of what God was calling me to do. The other half had to do with people. My passion is to help people heal and change through the application of God's word. I want to help people recognize that yes, salvation, it is a free gift, but holiness is a process that can take your entire life. There's no doubt, upon inviting Christ into your life, you are saved. You are going to heaven. But that's not where God intended the whole process to stop for the believer. God said in Leviticus chapter 11, "Be ye holy as I am holy." That's a tall order. I believe he intended us to receive his free gift, but then co-labor and cooperate with him in this sanctification process until we actually get to see him face to face. This program is going to show you how to jump into the game, so to speak, and co-labor with God and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul said it this way in the Good News Translation. "So then, dear friends, as you always obeyed me when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey me now while I'm away from you. Keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation, because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose." So Paul's reiterating what God told us in Leviticus 11, 44 through 45. It says, "I am the Lord your God, and you must keep yourselves holy because I'm holy. I'm the Lord who brought you out of Egypt so that I could be your God. You must be holy because I am holy." The 40 years in the wilderness had a lot to do with God reparenting his children. He wanted to teach them through direct application and firsthand experience how to trust him, how to worship him, and especially how to obey him. In the New Testament, Jesus modeled behaviors that he wanted us to mimic. We have the unique privilege of observing Jesus in his day-to-day interactions with his heavenly Father, with his friends and family, and with his enemies. That's an amazing thing if you look at it from a father-son relationship where one is modeling how to live this life to the other. You know, I often tell my three little kids, look and learn, people, look and learn. This is the way you do it. Well, Jesus is calling for a change of heart, which then will lead us to a change in our behavior. And that's where Christianity differs with psychology. Once you receive Jesus as your Savior and that change takes place, we start acting like him. We start eating like him. We start giving our time and our finances like Jesus did. This is really convicting because I don't think Jesus would take his kids to McDonald's. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 24 gives the church, which means you and I, right? Gives us these instructions. It says, "May the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 24 says, "He who calls you will do it because he is faithful." This is where Biblical Health TV gets its marching orders. We are to actively pursue holiness in our spirit, soul, and body. Goal setting keeps you focused on that pursuit. You know, my father had a saying when I was a kid. he'd say, "Be careful, Christina, because a leopard never changes his spots." And this might be true sometimes, but as believers, we should be embracing the notion of continual change into the image of our Savior. In my early 20s, I knew that I wanted to become a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I wasn't really sure what route to take. My brother was a medical doctor, you know, an MD, who had specialized in child and adolescent psychiatry, so naturally, I started to go down that path. But one visit to the hospital morgue and then the trauma unit cured me of any desire of going to medical school whatsoever. Blood just is not my thing. So I decided to pay for a few sessions with Olga. Olga's my psychotherapist friend who had been in private practice for over 20 years. You know, I used those sessions to ask many questions from someone who had already walked that road. Her feedback to me was invaluable, and she helped me visualize and mentally map out how to get to where I wanted to be professionally in 10 years. There's one thing you have to know about goal setting. It involves a lot of thinking, planning, and then doing. After a few sessions with Olga, I had pinpointed my goal. I had gone from vague to specific. I'd gone from wanting to be a psychologist, which at the time kind of seemed overwhelming and unachievable, to actually writing down 7 specific steps that I would have to take to accomplish my goal of becoming, are you ready for this? A bilingual licensed psychotherapist in a Christian private practice setting. That's what I wanted. So in goal setting, we must move from vague thoughts to specific thoughts. I wrote the steps on a blank piece of paper, and I figured it would take me up to 7 years to fully accomplish this task. Well, I don't need to tell you that at 21 years old, 6 to 7 years seemed like forever. But as my 93-year-old uncle used to say, time is gonna go by, honey, whether you like it or not. It's what you do in that time that counts. So I went ahead and I tucked that handwritten list into my filing cabinet at home, and I began plugging away at step number one. Now, step number one was no little task. Step number one was to get a master's degree with 2 clinical internships. This step alone would take me 2 full years, but I was focused and I had a vision for where I was going. Once a year, I would clean out my filing cabinet, and it always fascinated me to find that little list. I'd actually check off each thing that I had already accomplished, and I'd put a date by it. But it wasn't until like the 3rd year into it that I started to notice that goal setting and goal achieving, well, they really work. So by this time, I had graduated with my master's degree in clinical social work. I had done 2 amazing internships and was in the process of being hired by a mental health company. For the next 3 years, I knew my roadmap. I was going to be accumulating clinical hours for my licensure. Life seemed to be moving right along. And again, each year I would find that paper when I cleaned out my filing cabinet, and I was amazed at how this whole thing was progressing. Suffice it to say that within 7 years of meeting with Olga, I had successfully checked off each step on that list. And I had now reached my goal of being a bilingual therapist in Christian private practice. And here's the unbelievable part. Part of this new job was to speak on the radio and conduct seminars in churches, which was amazing because of my broadcast journalism background. Now, honestly, I could have asked myself, was this chance or was it luck that everything sort of unfolded this way? Or had God shown me the path 6 years earlier, and via goal setting, he gave me the vision and the courage to achieve what I had set out to do? This, my friends, was goal setting and achievement at its best. All this to say is that I've walked this road before. It's hard, challenging, sometimes invigorating and liberating. It's anything but boring, that's for sure. Okay, so where's that paper with your fabulous five headings? Do you remember? Faith, family, finances, fitness and food, and the last one is fun. Over the past 20 minutes of this program, conviction in one area or another may have led you to begin writing. Good! You're going to do some more of this for homework. Remember, there are three steps to goal setting: thinking, planning, and doing. We are now working on the first step, thinking. If this step brings up emotions that are uncomfortable, hang tight. Stay with me. It's been my experience that at different points in our lives, we undoubtedly come to some pivotal moments of reflection. Yes, we reflect on what we have done with our lives and what we've done for the kingdom of God. This usually happens when a major life event is about to take place, like a wedding or the birth of your first child, or for me, it was when my 40th birthday approached. And even sometimes the death of a close friend can get you reflecting. It's been my experience that at those times we stop, or we kind of put our lives on pause, sort of like a halftime at a football game, and we give ourselves a thorough look over. We assess our past, we recognize our mistakes, certainly we acknowledge our amazing blessings, and we remind ourselves of what's important. Hopefully, through prayer, we gather all that information and make some adjustments to our strategy before we charge into the second half, so to speak. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, "Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways." Isn't that the truth? So, are you ready for the second half of your game? I'd like you to take 10 minutes today and get quiet with yourself. Be reflective. Talk to God. Reflect on the five categories that you have written down. Put your thoughts down on paper. Then schedule another 10 minutes several times this week. Please don't be alarmed if your life feels like it needs a complete overhaul, because I happen to know a fabulous mechanic, and his name is Jesus, and he personally specializes in overhauls. When my best friend Laura did this last month, she came to our follow-up accountability time with 2 full pages of stuff she wanted to change. But by the end of our time together, we narrowed her goals down to 3 main areas: food, fun, and faith. Just to give you an example, Laura decided that in the area of food, she definitely wanted weight loss and improved health, and her avenue of getting there was shifting from quantity of food to quality. She was going to make way in her finances for organic and living foods, but she was going to watch the quantity of what she put in her mouth. Her second goal that she came up with was fun. Laura had realized that she didn't know how to relax. She needed to shift away from being a doer to just learning how to be in the present moment, especially with her husband and her child. The third area that she felt she needed to change was in her faith. She felt that as a Christian, that she needed to demonstrate more gentleness, especially to her husband and her child, but that she tended to control people and want to control situations. So the fruit of the spirit of gentleness and self-control were ones that she was willing to look at closer in this season of her life. I recently read a devotional by Dr. Charles Stanley on success, goals, and God. And it read, "How do you define success? A common response is achieving predetermined goals. Scripture's definition, however, is different. The Lord desires that we discover His plan, obey, and become all that He intended. In other words, for success in the biblical sense, God sets the goals." Well, there's nothing truer than that, Dr. Stanley. I encourage you to spend some time this week thinking about those fabulous five categories. Remember, for goals to be effective, they need to be clearly written, specific, not vague, and measurable or time-bound. Proverbs 25:4 says, "Take the impurities out of silver, and the artist can produce a thing of beauty." Jesus, our master artist, he is producing a thing of beauty in you. So thanks for joining me, and I will see you real soon.